Good afternoon, everyone. And thank you very much, Professor Freeman. I would just start by saying that it has been a pleasure to work with you and to be guided by you at Northeastern University. The topic that I'm going to focus on is the relationship of the implementation of healthcare reform in Massachusetts to the struggle against racial and ethnic disparities and disparities of other kinds. I think that it's worth paying attention to this because this may suggest the what we will be seeing in the rest of the country as the Affordable Care Act gets rolled out and as there's more attention to both enrolling people from insurance and also monitoring whether or not we're seeing any changes in terms of the existence of health disparities and the efforts to promote equity. So I'd start just by showing a slide that many of you may have already seen, and this is just a reminder of where what we've achieved in Massachusetts. The bars indicate that we've been able to reduce the percentage of uninsured in Massachusetts from where it was, which is about 6%, to about 2%, and that's the lowest of any state in the country. And meanwhile, of course, the rate of uninsured in the country is about 16 or 17%. In terms of how successful that's been in terms of addressing disparities, one indication of that is looking at the percentage of people that were able to enroll in subsidized insurance programs as a result of the expansion of insurance options. One of those subsidized programs in Massachusetts is known as Commonwealth Care, and that's the subsidized program for people who are low income, not on Medicaid, but at low income. And of the 420,000 people who became insured under our health care reform initiative, 175,000 of those were people who were low income but not at Medicaid eligible. And so that's worth noting, a very high percentage, approaching 50% of the people who were insured. So that's a good sign that the healthcare reform is disproportionately helpful for people who are low income. And that will be true particularly for those states that are implementing the Medicaid expansion. For the states, the 27 or so states that are not expanding Medicaid, that will not have the same type of impact. We then looked at whether or not the expansion of insurance options had an equitable impact on the different racial and ethnic populations within the state. This chart indicates that there has been a very positive impact. So if you look at the years, let's say 2005, you see the top line is that's green represents Latinos, and you see that that's the highest percentage of any population lacking insurance, and it exceeds 20%. The blue line below that, the dotted line, represents the black population in the state, and you see that is elevated as well, not as high as Latinos, but still significantly higher than the population, the white population, which is the purple dot and dash line below the red line. So, but what has happened, we are happy to say, if you look closer to 2010, a few years into our healthcare reform initiative, is that the gap between white and black with regard to insurance coverage has largely closed. In fact, if you look at 2011, that gap gets smaller and smaller. That's a good sign. And of course, it's good that it's decreased in all populations, white as well as black. The percentage of uninsured Latinos has decreased, and so now it's much closer to, in that chart, about 10%, and other findings lower than that, but it's still higher than any other population. And the gap has closed, but there still is a gap between Latino and now white and black, and so that's something that needs our attention, and I'll speak to that more in just a few minutes. Of course, what we wanted to be sure was that having an insurance card didn't just mean that people could now say they were insured, but that we wanted to see whether it really made a difference in terms of access to necessary health care services. This chart looks at that, and very promisingly, it indicates that of the 98% of the population that had health insurance after health care reform, a full 86% of them say that they have a doctor and that they've seen the doctor in the last 12 months. And that is contrasted with the bars on the right-hand side, which looks at the 2% of the population that's still uninsured. And there you see that that population has only about a 54% likelihood of having seen a doctor in the last year, even though we know from the research that we've done that 2 to 3% of uninsured is more likely to have health problems. So the fact that they have more health problems but are less likely to see a doctor directly related to access to care. This is another chart that gives us some indication of the relationship of health care reform to health disparities. It looks at the respondents to the question, do you have a usual source of care, usually a physician, and it looks at non-elderly adults. And here, so it's not asking, have you gone to an emergency room? It's saying, do you have a specific doctor and have you that you would identify as your provider? And what you can see on the left-hand side is for all adults in Massachusetts, the percentage who say, yes, I have a doctor, or yes, I have a primary care provider, has gone from 87% to 90%. But very encouragingly, I draw your attention to the bars on the right-hand side, which looks at the adult people of color. And there the population says, there we've seen a 7% increase in just 3 years in people of color who say, I now have a doctor. So it's gone from 84% to 91%. And that's a really good sign, again, in terms of a larger percentage increase than the white population. And that's partly why we see a closing of that gap. This chart also shows that. And here what it does is it compares the difference during that same time period for the white population with the population of color. So on the left, you can see that the white population said that they did have a usual source of care, a provider, primary care provider, and that increased from 88% to 90%, but that was a smaller increase than the increase of people of color, which increased from that 84% to 91% I was mentioning earlier. The other side of the chart actually asks then, have you actually seen that provider in the last year? And there too you see a pretty remarkable jump. If you look at the white increase, there's been a 5% increase in terms of the white population that says that they actually saw a doctor in the last year after healthcare reform was implemented. But if you look at the bars on the, again, the right-hand side, the when we've surveyed the people of color in the state, the percentage who say they've seen a doctor in the last year has jumped from 71% to 84%, a 13% increase in just 3 years. So again, a strong indication that healthcare reform can play a role in terms of overcoming some of the historic barriers to access. This is an important chart too. So this chart asks, have you had any unmet healthcare need in the last year? And often that is that can be for any reason. It can be economic or whatever. And there what we want to see is a decrease. So we want to see fewer people saying, I had an unmet need after healthcare reform, and happily we've seen that. So in terms of all the population, in terms of those surveyed, 25% before healthcare reform said they had an unmet need in the last year related to health, and that decreased to 20%. And we saw slight decreases among people of color, but a significant decrease in terms of low-income residents of the state who say that they've had unmet needs. And that's gone from 34% to 26%. Again, this is just within 3 years. So that's a strong sign that there is overcoming some of the barriers with regard to economic barriers. We also want, as we move into thinking about prevention, this is one of those transition slides. So this slide looks at whether the visits that people have had in the last year have been of a preventive nature, not treating an illness, but offering something like a flu vaccine or screening for cancer or counseling on giving up smoking. And pretty remarkably, about three-quarters of the insured population in the state say that in the last year they've had a clinical visit for prevention, not just for treatment. On the other hand, if you look at the population, that 2 to 3% who don't have insurance, only about 50% as many people say that they've had a preventive visit. So the folks that are the 2 to 3%, if anything, have greater needs for prevention, but they're half as likely to have had a preventive health visit in the last year. And of course, what does that mean? That means less access to things like this. These are the kinds of services that would be valuable for screening for illness. And here, thank you, I would just highlight for you the increase in a one-year period, the increase in the percentage of age-appropriate adults who receive colonoscopies. Colonoscopies are important not simply for screening, but they also can prevent cancer if people see if the clinicians see precancerous polyps and remove them. So here you've seen an increase in just 1 year of an 8% of the population that is age appropriate for colonoscopies getting access. And that makes sense because if you're uninsured, you're very unlikely to be paying out of pocket for a colonoscopy. Also, with regard to prevention, an important finding that in Massachusetts was that a component of our healthcare reform initiative involved coverage for smoking cessation services, nicotine replacement therapy, and counseling. And when that went into place, that service being offered to people who are eligible for Medicaid and then the Medicaid eligibility expanding, we saw a dramatic decrease in terms of the people on Medicaid who were smoking and a very high acceptance or request for a service, namely smoking cessation. As a result of that, we saw in just 18 months later a statistically significant reduction in first-time heart attacks and emergency room visits for respiratory illness among that specific population, the Medicaid population that smoked, compared with a comparable population of Medicaid enrollees or covering the same period of time. And then this is just the last slide that I'll show you with regard to some of the health indicators. This just is showing that there was an increase in terms of the clinically recommended preventive services for people with diabetes. And it went from about 12% to almost 20%, again, in just a matter of years. This is flu shot, A1C, eye test, foot examination. So it's still way lower than what it should be. It should be at 100%, so 20% is not a great number, but increasing in a short amount of time from 12 to 19% is a good sign. This just is a slide that indicates that we have not seen an increase in out-of-pocket payment on the part of people as a part of healthcare reform. In fact, copays and deductibles, according to the surveys, are lower after healthcare reform than they were before. But healthcare reform hasn't solved the problem. There, 2% of the population in Massachusetts represents 120,000 people. If it's 3%, it's 180,000. And that population of uninsured, continually uninsured people is disproportionately male, Latino, non-citizen, low income, and not working. And so there's a good deal of research now, funded by the state, a Center for Health Information and Analysis, or CHIA, to both JSI and to the institute I work for at Northeastern to actually investigate what are the various reasons that the Latino population is still disproportionately likely to be uninsured. The preliminary research is it's not as simple as it being about immigration status. It's about a number of different things, including primary language, geography, access to care, et cetera. And so much more attention needs to be paid to how do you close the gap in terms of the Latino population and other populations of color. And of course, some people still highlight that care, that cost is a barrier. So there you'll see, if you don't have insurance, 2/3 of the population says cost is a barrier to care. If you do have insurance, 25% say it is. And that's the copays and the deductibles. And finally, let me highlight a couple of things that are promising with regard to the latest efforts within Massachusetts in healthcare reform. And those involve legislation that was passed in 2012 to pay more attention to reducing the cost of care, improving the quality of care, and preventing care or promoting wellness. And Massachusetts now is paying a good deal of attention to this. This matters for a few reasons. One reason is this. The new legislation passed in 2012 creates a $60 million prevention and wellness trust. And 75% of those dollars over a four-year period are going to be distributed to community, clinical, municipal partnerships to try to establish a connection between the care that now is more accessible to populations and the conditions in the lives of the residents of the communities that are seeking that care. So there'll be attention paid to housing, transportation, community safety, access to healthy foods, et cetera, as a result of this. The second thing that came out of the latest legislation is a greater emphasis on moving away from fee-for-service as the standard way that healthcare is paid for and a move towards global payment where there is an opportunity to establish outcome measures that are in the best interest of the health of the population. So it's not volume-driven for revenue, it's about keeping the population healthy. The fact that there is that attention on global payment offers the opportunity to work within payment reform to identify what might be called population-based outcome measures. If those measures are built into the contracts of accountable care organizations and other large provider groups, there is the possibility that insurance money will then be diverted by the providers to investments in the larger community in order to increase the likelihood that patients are healthy. And that's if that's done, it is probable that that will have a disproportionate impact on the populations of color and low-income populations, and that may also help in terms of closing the gap. Thanks.